Going to do something that's kind of more on the light and encouraging side this morning. We are studying through the book of Revelation, and as you all know that have been here for a few weeks with us, Revelation is not a light duty book. Can I get an amen on that? So we are going to talk a little bit about fatherhood and fathers and that sort of stuff, but let's pray, and then I'm going to show you a video in just a second, and then we'll go ahead and talk about the scriptures and just pray for the dads this morning. God, we want to thank you for this morning and celebrating fathers. And God, what a picture that you've given us of not only being a father, but creating a relationship with us as children. And God, I pray that as we talk this morning and we look at some of the ideas of being children or sons and daughters of God, that that would encourage our hearts to be a blessing to us. And pray most importantly for the fathers, God, that you would remind us to stay in and keep fighting the fight of faith for our families, that it's so, so important. So God, I pray that you'd be with us in all we do and all that we talk about this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we looked around and tried to find a video that I thought represented okay for Father's Day. And there was one that was voted on that was just a guy in the car locking the doors and farting. And I thought, it's church, for God's sake. So we didn't pick that one. So why don't you go ahead and watch with me and...
Hey, kids. Mom needs more help inside.
Hey, how many kids do you have?
Three.
Three?
Yeah.
That is a good number.
Whoa. Let's just concentrate on this one for now. Hey, what's it like being a dad?
Then I could say,
kiss her, Daddy, kiss her.
Hashtag gag me.
Ugh.
Mr. Clamps has been sleeping for 2 days, Daddy.
Goodbye, Mr. Clamps.
No.
All right, just slow down a little
Dad,
bit.
Stop yelling at me.
I don't think that. No. Okay. And that is why we always wear our seatbelt. And that's the birds and the bees. Proud of you, son.
Run.
Huh?
Run, it's gonna blow! No.
Have I told you lately?
I know, Dad. You love me. You tell me all the time.
Actually, I was going to tell you I think you're beautiful inside and out.
Whatever. You are disgusting.
Yeah, Dad, you are disgusting.
This right here goes to your future. This right here goes to you. And this right here goes to God.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. How much does God get?
What's wrong, beautiful?
Trevor broke up with me.
Thank you, Lord.
He's such a jerk. He broke up with me on a text message.
He just replied,
Dad, I can't believe you! Thanks, Dad.
He didn't deserve you. He didn't deserve you.
One, two, three!
Heavenly Father, thank you for being so good to us.
God has the coolest job. He can make clouds all day.
Yeah, he does. But I think one of his very best jobs is when he made you.
Daddy.
Hey, what's it like being a dad?
How much time you got?
You know, I could relate to everything in that. And some of you other dads in here can as well. I was notorious. My kids fall asleep on the sofa. I mean, you guys have kids fall asleep on the sofa? Yeah. And so they were little, and I'd pick them up, and I would pick them up and carry them to their room, and I would inevitably bump their heads on the doors. I mean, my wife would be like, what are you trying to kill them or what? I'm like, no, I just don't have good aim. So, you know, I think that being a dad is one of the most awesome things that we could ever endeavor into. And you know, I know that anytime you talk about fatherhood and dads, and some of us have experiences that were not maybe the best, maybe our dads were not engaged or around, but I don't think that that's a reason not to say what is awesome about fatherhood. So if you had a bad experience, listen, I know this for sure, that is not at all what God ever intended for you or wanted for you. But that said, what I want to do today is just celebrate dads. I want to talk about some of the fatherhood of God. This will not be very deep, hopefully a little bit encouraging, maybe a little funny. I don't know. Sometimes I don't get funny with stuff like this. But this idea that we are called to be fathers, and dads, help me. Do we need God's help in doing this? Man, I'll tell you what, it's the most difficult thing I've ever done. And listen, so let me put this in context for you guys. I've got a 17-year-old, a 14-year-old, and a 13-year-old. Okay, so I'm like parenting teenagers. I need help. Somebody say amen. You need help because parenting is what? It's hard and it's difficult. And there's a lot of cultural pressures, a lot of things going on. And sometimes I think we need to bring ourselves back to this idea of fatherhood being God's idea. That it doesn't come from our creativity. It doesn't come from our smarts. It really comes from learning about God. And Apostle Paul said this in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14. He said that, for this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And there's two words in the Greek there that he's playing with. And he's saying, I bow my knee before the Father, the patria, and then I do, or the pot, I'm saying this wrong, pater, and then the family, patria. What he's saying is this, I bow my knee before the Father from whom all fathers derive their name. Listen, anything that you know about parenting that's healthy, you realize that it comes from God. Somebody say yes. And you know, because listen, if we were to measure from our natural dads, how many of you guys had pretty good natural dads? I had a pretty good natural dad. Was he perfect? No, he wasn't. And none of us experience that this side of heaven. There aren't any perfect dads. But there are guys that love God, and they try to teach us how to love God. And that is the value that we're really talking about this morning. See, the Father from whom all fatherhood is named. See, when we look at our Heavenly Father, we get a clear picture of what fatherhood really is about. So if that's the case, how do we as children become children of God? How do we as God's creation become children of God? And so I started just searching a little bit. Some of the phrases, children of God, sons of God, and just thought I would unpack those a little bit this morning for us. So the first thing is this, how do you become a child of God? John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, it says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. So to those who receive him, how many of you guys received God as your father? You received him. That means that you're actually a child of God. You're like, but pastor, I'm old now. I'm 50. That doesn't ever, you know, that it doesn't matter how old your kids get. I'm 51 years old. When I go see my mom, what does she call me? Son? I'm the baby of 12 kids. 12, my poor mother, oh my gosh. But 12 kids, you know, I'm still always going to be her what? Her baby. I'm always her kid. Doesn't matter how old I get. And that's true for all of us. Now, my baby is Bella, and she's 13 now. And it's so, like, she's still, like, got that, like, little girl. And, like, when he was laying down in the video and he said, but the best creation was you. And she goes, oh, Daddy, that's Bella. Bella still does that. I love complimenting her because she'll look over it like, oh, geez, shucks. And I love that. Listen, don't miss those opportunities of intimacy. What God said was this, though, that when we receive him, that he gives us the right to be children of God. That means to associate oneself as a companion. That's what it means to receive. So when you become part of God's family, you associate with him as a companion. Now, dads, listen to me. This is so important for you. So many of us want to be relevant. We want to be cool. That sometimes we miss the opportunity to be Jesus in front of our kids. And I don't mean you're Jesus. I mean to live as a Christ-like character in front of our kids. See, listen, you will shape Christ in your kids as a companion of God. As you are as a companion, your kids will also learn to become what? Companions, friends of God. How friendly are you with God? Is it in your everyday speech? Is it commonly part of your discussion with your kids? You know, some of you think, but I only have little kids. I talk to my kids about God when they were in my wife's belly. And I'm not playing with you. I've always talk to my kids about God. I mean, sometimes my kids are like, geez, Dad, does it always have to be about? And I'm always, yes, it does. Because at the end of the day, if I teach my kids to be successful in life and they lose their faith, was that success? No, see, our goal as dads, as parents, is to lead our homes in such a way that we have companionship with God so that our kids can know that we're children of God and they can become the same. It's our job to lead the charge of faith. Now, how many of you guys leave that to your wives? Why don't you go pray with them, honey? But listen, I'm not saying be all weird and religious, but listen to me, guys. Listen to me, guys. Pay attention. Guys, I love you, right? Pray with your kids. Stop and pray with them. Stop and encourage them. You know, like one of my favorite things, this is one of my favorite things. We went through a pretty like upside down season. I've shared some of that with you guys over the last several months. My favorite thing that has come out of that whole season. Some of you think, oh, it must be where you live, and it must be. No, no, no. Every night, my daughter's in Missouri right now on a missions trip. Every night, she sends me a devotion. Every night. Every night. She's 14 years old. How many of you guys wish that at 14 you were reading your Bibles? Would that have removed some pain from your life? Can I get an amen? Because at 14, I was not reading a Bible at all. I was reading stuff I shouldn't be reading. The reality is this, that sometimes we just have to say, thank you, God, that some way I was part of shaping a hunger for God in her, a hunger for God in my son and my other daughter. That's our privilege as dads, right? So I want to encourage you, don't miss out on that privilege because you don't know how to do it. How many of you guys don't know how to pray? You know what? I didn't know how to pray till I started what? Praying. But look, I love you guys. Some of you are like, man, but that's not the way I am, Pastor. Listen, then become that way. Your kids need you to what? Become that way. They want you to pray with them. Listen, they want to follow your lead. How many of you, when your kids were little, you'd be out in the yard digging and they'd go get their plastic shovel right next to you. Come on, am I talking to anybody? And they'd be digging with you. Whatever you're doing, you got a hammer, they're beating something, right? They're swinging because they want to be like
you.
Exactly. So the more that you model faith for them, the easier it is for them to connect with God. And that is an amazing, amazing privilege. Isn't it, dads? Come on, dads, help me. Isn't that an amazing privilege?
Yes.
It really is super cool that our behavior shapes the way that they see the world. So today, I want you to just be thoughtful about that. Don't worry about how well you do it. Listen, your kids are not looking for your skill. They're looking for you. They want you to take interest. You to take the few minutes it takes to go upstairs and say, let's pray. You know, God bless her sleep. Give her good rest, whatever. It doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be elaborate, but it has to be something where they understand that faith is important to you and you're modeling it for them. Amen? So I want to encourage you guys, don't lose sight of being that. See, be a companion to God and teach your kids to be companions of God. Now, in Matthew chapter 5, this is the Beatitudes. Again, I'm just grabbing sons of God, children of God phrases just to encourage you. This is what Jesus said. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. So people who make peace. which this is just a compound word. It means peace and to make or to craft. Now, how many of you guys have multiple kids? Come on. Have you ever had to make peace in your household? Talk to me, guys. The other night, we were going to bed, and I love my daughters, but my daughters, they are 13 and 14. That is very, very what? Close in age. They wear, watch, the same clothes. They're the same size. They're the same height. Everything's the same. So they're arguing. You know what they're arguing over? It's 11 o'clock at night, by the way. I don't like arguments at 11. What about you guys? At 11 o'clock, it's time to do what? Yeah, it's time to go to bed. And they're arguing. No, you take the bracelet thing and you put it in your room. No, you put it in your room. And I'm like, oh, I'm about to make some peace up in here right now. I'm like, it's late. And I hear my wife from the other room. She goes, put it in the yard sale pile. I'm like, yeah, what she said. Listen, we are called to teach our kids to be at peace. We're called to teach them, to help them understand how to serve each other, to remind them, listen, to remind them it's not about them. Is that a hard lesson to teach anybody? Hello. Some of you are old and it's hard to teach you that. Imagine for a little person. It's true. But our job is to teach them to be at peace with people. Our job is to teach them how to be godly and how to love and put others first. And I love my wife. She's like, forget it. It's 11 o'clock. Put it in the yard sale pile. I was on board with that idea. I was. Then I looked at my girls and I said, hey, we can talk about this in the morning. I said, but this is not the time to argue about this. It's not necessary. Let's go to bed and we'll figure it out in the morning. Besides, the world is not going to end if the bracelets are in one room or the other. Are they? Maybe the women are like, yes. You know? Guys, how many of you guys know this, that godliness in your children is caught more than it's taught? They're going to catch what you do more than what you speak to them. They're going to catch your behavior way more than you telling them to do or don't do something. They're going to catch it. So listen, whatever you're doing as a husband, listen, this is going to be a little direct, okay? This will be as mean as I'm going to get this morning. Say, Pastor, I love you. Yeah, this is as mean as I'm going to get. When you don't resolve something that needs to be resolved in the household, they learn that it's not important to resolve it because they catch it as you model it. You get what I'm saying? So when you see something that's upside down, you've got to step in and say, hey, kids, we got to handle this differently. Hey, kids, we're in a point of crisis, and we need to gather together as a family and pray. Hey, kids, we need to stop and remind ourselves that this might not be easy season as a family, but God is still a God we can trust, a God that we exercise and live in faith with. Am I talking to anybody? Because if you've done any life, you know that it goes like this, that there's peaks and valleys. Hello? You had times where you made lots of money and times where you didn't make any at all. Am I talking to anybody in the room? And you have to live that in front of your kids and say, in good or in bad, we are going to trust who? God. Because as we live that way, they catch the example. They don't want to hear your words. They want to watch what you do. When you're in crisis, do they see you pray? Do you invite them to ever pray with you? See, those are like amazing, amazing opportunities to teach your kids to believe in God even when it's hard. Man, it's such a privilege. You know, there's so many of the things that, like, it's just the little phrases that your kids will come back and they'll say, I remember when. How many of you guys have had I remember when comments from your kids? And they'll say, I remember when, and you just kind of go, had no idea she was watching. I had no idea he was watching. They're always what? Always watching. So I want to encourage you, live faith in front of them. Live it in front of them so that they can grab a hold of it and they can follow you as you follow God, because it's caught more than it's taught. Jesus said it this way. This is so interesting, because you're going to say, how did you turn this into a father statement? Just listen. Jesus said this, love your enemies, do good, lend expecting nothing in return. So how are you doing with loving your enemies, doing good, and lending expecting nothing in return? Watch what he goes on to say. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. See, listen, when we live a lifestyle that is so otherworldly, kingdom, listen, the kingdom of God always, say always, always operates in opposite spirit. Will always do the opposite. How many of you guys have been wronged and your friends are all telling you, get them back? And God is saying, I don't want you to get them back. I don't want you to do that. I want you to bless enemies. I want you to pray for those who persecute you. And you'll be sons of the Most High, for he himself, watch, is kind to the ungrateful and evil men. Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven's merciful. So here's some thoughts. Love your enemies. Love your enemies, because for your kids, you're modeling something for them. Listen, you're modeling forgiveness and understanding. Listen, what you're teaching them is this. In this life, they're going to experience things that are wrong. Amen or no?
Amen.
Sometimes it's tough in this life. But when you live a lifestyle that's a forgiving lifestyle, you're modeling for your kids what? Forgiveness. You're modeling for them how to give over to somebody. Now listen, I got to be honest with you guys. I mean, real honest. I try really hard to be forgiving, and sometimes I fail. What about you guys? Man, ooh, yeah, I come back, and I'm like, you know, like I'll have that moment where I'm like, yeah, God, just bless them, take care of them. Then I have another moment, and I'm like, just kill them. Kill them with an evil death. Kill them, you know, and you go back and forth. And I live that in front of my kids. Like, there's lots of ways to parent. You know that? There's lots of ways. I know people who parent by hiding their kids from everything. I know parents who don't get involved at all. My approach to parenting, and I'm not saying this is right or wrong, just saying this is a decision Heather and I made early on as parents. We said we were going to expose our kids to worldly stuff and then teach them the difference. We were going to let them see it. Because I know this, if you hide kids from it, when they do see it, they get what? Curious. They're like, what's that over there? And how come we didn't get to do that in our house? So we just took that approach. Now, whether that was right or wrong, I'm not sure. I know this, that we prayed and we decided, listen, I'm not going to hide my kids from everything. Because I know this, that at some point, I won't be able to hide them. How do I know that? Because they used to come home from school listening to music I'd never heard. Playing songs on their phones that I definitely do not approve of. And I think, like, where in the world did they hear this? Because you can't guard them from everything, right? You can't. So we took the decision that we would expose them within reason. Like, don't worry, we don't play rap in our house. I don't listen to junky music and foul stuff. It's just not the way I live. But I do talk to my kids openly about things. I do let them see things that are real pressures they're going to face when they leave my home. Heck, sometimes when they leave my home on the way to school, because when they get to school, some of the values that are there are not the values that we hold. So I just decided we were going to expose our kids. And I want to encourage you, dads, don't be afraid of everything out there. Teach them. Teach them the values. Teach them the difference. See, this is what it said. Love your enemies. Teach them how to be in the middle, forgiving, understanding. He said, do good. Listen, what we're doing when we tell them to do good, we're teaching them to have integrity. You ever had to do good when somebody is doing bad to you? Come on, talk to me. You ever had to suffer loss because of somebody else's behavior? Does this stink or what? Am I the only one in the room? The women are all shaking their heads. Guys, where are you? Hello. You ever had to suffer loss because of somebody else's behavior? And what you're doing is you're teaching them to trust God. Have integrity. Do the right thing when no one is watching. Because if you trust God, God will settle the accounts when it's all said and done. That's a hard lesson. But when you do that in front of your kids, you're teaching them how to be children of God. That's what you're doing. And then he says this, lend. Man, how many of you guys have like thousands of dollars owed to you? Okay, am I the only sucker in the room, really? I got people who owe me money from like years and years ago. You know, where you just kind of go, you know, if it ever comes through, great. But don't expect it will ever, ever come back. You know, but it was this, lend without expecting anything in return. Man, those are tough lessons. Like, as much as it's possible, be at peace, give, be sacrificial. See, what you're doing with your kids is you're teaching them to be children of God when you do that. I mean, help me, dads, help me. Is there a more powerful thing you could teach your kids than to live like a child of God? Is there anything, listen, if you could give them all the wealth in the world and they go to hell, which would you pick? Teaching them to love God or teaching them to be wealthy? See, listen, I hope that wealth and all that comes along with loving God. But listen, if wealth crushes their heart for God, that's the worst thing you could ever potentially give your kids. So listen, we're all in this journey together. We're all raising kids. We're all trying to teach them to love and not lose their hearts. See, teaching our kids godly behavior is so, so important. Now, listen, I've told you on multiple occasions, I think the ministry of this church is to the next generation. Listen, I love you guys. Many of you in the room, you've lived life for the most part. Like you're established, your careers are in motion, you're stable in life, but you've got little people, they're called your children, that we've been called to train how to love God. So I feel like God has given me a really clear mandate in the next season of this church. Teach parents how to parent. Teach them how to train their kids to love God. And then love their kids for Christ so that they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that they belong to Jesus. Man, because if I could give that away, I've given away, I've accomplished my job as a pastor. If I've taught you how to be good, godly parents and to train your kids how to be good, godly kids. That's the best thing we could ever get. Now listen, if they end up with some money and a good job, great. But the last thing I would ever want is for your kid to have the house on the hill and be going to hell. And I'm pretty sure that's the last thing any of you would want for your kids as well. He says, listen, you'll be sons of the Most High. And he said, there's two traits to this sonship. He's speaking of God. He said, for he himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. Then he said, be merciful just as your Father in heaven is merciful. Kind is to be benevolent, good, mild, pleasant. Teach them to be at peace with people. That's kindness. And then merciful is interesting. Like this word merciful, it really means this, to be compassionate. It really means this, to be sympathetic. It's teaching your kids to see somebody else's cause as valuable. In other words, it's taking your kids out to the Heart of Jesus ministry, which is our homeless outreach. John and Marcy Arndt lead it. They're there every single Sunday. Take them there. Take them once a month. Take them and serve people who are down and out and teach your kids to give their hearts away. That it's not just about them. Listen, we have the most self-consumed culture that has ever existed. We're the wealthiest and the poorest at the same time. And I think that rises and falls on us being fathers. Us being those who will actually train our kids that yes, you're blessed, but the reason that you were blessed is to be a blessing to other people. Listen, this is the Abrahamic covenant. This is what God says. I will bless you and then go bless other people. Listen, that's what we're called to do. We're not called to be blessed so that we can have nice things. I mean, hopefully you get nice things. There's nothing wrong with that. But we're called to be blessings to other people because God has blessed us first. So I want to encourage you, dads, pay attention. God is kind, benevolent, and good. He's merciful, sympathetic, understanding, compassionate. Let's help our kids grow in their understanding of giving their hearts away to other people. And that is best done by actually doing it. Listen, I'm going to put out a challenge, you fathers. You guys ready to take a challenge? All right, I like this. I like bring it. I like it. There's competitive people in the room. They're in their sports jerseys. That's why. Okay, next time you're out and about and you see a homeless person, go feed him. And I don't mean just buy him a burger, put it in his hand, and walk away. Talk to him. Talk to him. Pray for him. Just two or three minutes of your time. Do that. Just stop. Be kind. Be thoughtful. Next time you drive by somebody and they've got a flat tire, stop and offer to help. Just see if there's something that you could do that is completely inconvenient for you. Am I talking to anybody right now? Because you know that the last thing you want to do is when it's 105 out to stop on the side of the road. You're like, can I just pull out my AAA card and call the tow truck? No, stop and help them. I mean, maybe call the tow truck, but stop and be kind. But watch, do it in front of your family. Do it with your kids. Model for them what it means to be selfless. Model for them what it means to put other people first. And you'll be surprised at what you see out of your kids. You know, one of my favorite things, and this was last year when we went out to the homeless ministry, and that's me telling on myself because I feel really convicted that I haven't been there recently. I told my wife this the other day. I'm gonna start heading down there like one Sunday a month just to go. You know, somebody wants to come with me, great. But I don't want to make it like a church. I need to go. You ever feel like sometimes you need to reconnect yourself with the stuff that you believe? Am I talking to anybody right now? Listen, I serve people all the time, but sometimes I need to serve people where they don't know that I'm their pastor. Just because I love God, I just want to go help somebody and serve them. And I said, and I remember going out there, and I remember my girls leading worship for the homeless people. And then they went into the food line, and they were giving away food and just being kind. And a lot of our kids were there. It wasn't just my girls. A lot of our kids were there. And I just thought, man, that is such a valuable way for us to say, I'm going to live a lifestyle that's selfless, and by doing that, I'm going to model for my family and my children what it means to give myself away, what it means to put other people before myself. Because this is what God did. The first thing he gave is his son. Somebody say amen. Amen. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. See, listen, the first thing that the Father gave to us is Jesus as the Redeemer of the world. And that is just fully, fully amazing. The second thing he gave was his Spirit. How many of you guys know that when you receive Jesus, that the Spirit of the living God lives inside of you? He comes and takes up residence in you. That means forever and ever, the God of the universe is an indwelling presence that goes with you everywhere you go. Amen. Amen. Oh man, that's a great gift. Yes. Man, you know, I've been given some good things in my life. I got to be honest. I've had people love me and give me gifts and give me money, give me stuff, family, friends, just things. Things where you walk away, you think, I didn't deserve that. Computers, iPads, it's just stuff. But you know what? The best thing I've ever been given, best thing I've ever been given was when somebody told me about Jesus. And then when I experienced that I'm his, I belong to him, that his Spirit indwells me, and that everywhere I go, he's with me. There's nowhere I can go that I'm alone. Man, I'll tell you what, if you take that away and then you teach your kids that very same thing, that you're never alone. God will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He'll never leave you hang out to dry. He can't turn his eyes off of you because he loves you so much. You teach your kids to be secure in Christ, and they'll teach everybody they're around to be the same. And that's your privilege as a dad. Now, some of you, listen, some of you are in the room, you're like, oh, Pastor, you don't get it. My kids are old and I screwed up a whole bunch. Start now. Listen, this is when it becomes really powerful and supernatural, that it has to be God to move a heart that's 30 years old. It has to be God. But listen, listen, how many of you guys got saved when you were 30, 25, 40? You were older, weren't you? And God did what? He moved on your heart. So listen, parents, whether you did it right from the start or not, don't let that be the reason that you don't do it right now. Just start now. Live for Jesus now. And when you're done, you trust it to God and you watch the outcome, and God will bring them to him as he sees fit. So listen, fathers, I want to encourage you. We're going to wrap up in just a second. You know, as fathers, listen, stay connected to your Heavenly Father. As a father, stay connected to your Heavenly Father. What do I mean by that? I mean, read your Bible. I mean, pray. I mean, seek his direction and ask him to guide your steps. And do that in front of your kids in such a way that they know that you're leaning into God as you're doing life. That you're not smart enough to figure it out, even though you're smart. Listen, one of my favorite things my dad ever said to me is, I was just like, man, you're just so smart. And he just said, son, the more you know, the less you know. He goes, I'm really not as smart as you think I am. He goes, but just love God. Just love God. He'll lead you. He'll teach you. He'll train you. And that is true. It's one of the promises that the Holy Spirit will guide you and lead you in all of your decisions. And as you live like that as a father, you teach your kids to live the same way. Now, listen, Dad, you won't do it perfect. Look at the guy sitting next to you and say, you aren't perfect. You're not going to do it perfect. You're like, I don't feel encouraged now, but you're not perfect. Not one of us in the room is the perfect dad. But listen, you can demonstrate walking in redemption and forgiveness when you make mistakes by pulling yourself back up, saying, but I'm still going to walk with God. Amen. That's, listen, you're going to make all kinds of mistakes. Keep walking with Jesus in your successes and in your failures, and you'll model for your kids how to walk with God. Listen, it's caught more than it's taught. Somebody say amen. Amen. You can tell them the right thing to do, and if you do the opposite, they're going to do whatever you do. And we all know this to be true. They are going to copy whatever it is that we do. See, Jesus said this. Kids will always reflect their fathers. Jesus said this of himself. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. See, listen, listen. People come to me, this is going to be mean, and I don't mean it to be mean. People come to me and they'll tell me what a great parent they are, and then I look at their kid and I'm like, no. Or I'll look at their kid and I'm like, they'll say, no, I'm really not all that good a parent. I'm like, no, I can see the fruit in your kid. You're doing a better job than you think you are. Listen, because that's just true. It's part of it. If you've seen the father, if you've seen the kid, you've seen the father. You always see the mimicking. See, God encourages us. So dads, encourage your kids. Don't be down on them all the time. Remember, the Father said to the Son when he was being baptized, this is my Son in whom I'm what? Well pleased. Tell your kids of your pleasure in them. Speak often complimentary to your kids. How many of you guys like compliments? Yeah, how many of you guys like getting criticized? Ugh, I hate it. Be complimentary. They need it because they're trying to figure it out too. Don't worry so much about messing them up. Don't worry so much about that. Live for God. Live real. Live authentic. Live for God and let them follow your model, and you will be surprised that they'll be way better off than if you did everything right, but you never taught them to lean into Jesus. Teach them to lean into Jesus. So listen, this is what I want to do for the dads. I told you I was not going to go long. I was being serious because there's lunch to be eaten. Can I get an amen, dads? Some of you are going to go eat barbecue or tacos or something yummy. We're going to Lazy Dog. I like Lazy Dog. That's good. Ooh, yeah, I don't see it. Then I'm going to go back home and I'm going to lay in the pool like a beached whale. That's what I'm going to do. So listen, if you're a dad, I want you to stand this morning. We want to pray for you because I know this. It's tough to be a dad. But I also know this, being a dad is like the greatest privilege ever. It really is. And it's super, super fun for us to be able to impart to our kids the faith that we've received and sometimes grabbed and sometimes stumbled into, but to be able to live it in such a way that our kids can grab a hold of it. So I want to pray to just encourage you in your journey with God. So just if you're around them, you can lay hands, if your family around them, husbands, wives, just put a hand on the guy standing. And first thing I want to pray for, I want to encourage those of you who, you're in the room and Father's Day is a difficult day for you. It's not necessarily a day full of successes. You know, if you were to look at your own father, you would probably say it wasn't a very good model. And maybe you look at some of your own parenting and you think, I wish I would have had a couple of extra do-overs in this thing. And I want to pray for you first. And the truth is, what I just said is true for all of us because none of us is perfect. Amen? So, Father, we first just want to lift up all the dads, and especially in those areas where we didn't have good models. And, God, that maybe we followed the poor model that we got from our dad, and then we did it with our own kids. And, God, that there's a level of regret in that. And sometimes we wish that we would have either found Jesus sooner or done it differently when we had the chance. God, what I love about you is that you're a God of redemption and that you're a God of reconciliation, and you can take things that are way fractured and make them whole again. And God, we believe that in you. And God, we want to attach our hearts to that in a very spiritual and supernatural sense this morning, that no matter how hard we try, we can't fix it. But Holy Spirit, we know you can. And so, Jesus, we bow our hearts before you, who's the one who redeemed us back into relationship with the Father, as we, as the children of God, before we knew him, ran far and wide from God. And you brought us back and you reminded us that there is a Father in heaven who loves each one of us. And God, I pray that same love that we've received from you would be the love that we give toward our fathers and we give toward our children. And God, I also want to lift up the fathers in the room this morning that, man, we're just in it. Our kids are in that season where there's so much training going on and there's so much cultural pressure and there's so many things that are upside down and broken. And God, I pray that you would teach us as dads how to talk to our kids, how to hear them, how to listen to them, how not to remove our responsibility as a dad, but to actually take it seriously. And God, teach us how to do it in a way that is us with our kids, that imparts faith and a love for God. Lord, that we would not try to be somebody else that we've heard or flowery or some other idea that we have in our minds, that we would just be us, taking the journey of faith with God, succeeding, failing sometimes, but keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith. God, help us as dads to live and model. Holy Spirit, I invite you to lead and teach us and correct us. Teach us how to be better dads. And God, I want to pray over the newer dads in the room, those who have, I hear a baby in the room, so I know there's a brand new dad in this room. And God, I pray that you would give them wisdom and grace. It's so hard to start a family. It's so hard, and it's so hard. You're just trying to take care of everything and make money and get all the ducks in a row. And I remember this so, so well. And it just felt so hard, like it was running to stand still at times. And it didn't mean that there wasn't success, but it sure did seem like where I wanted to be, I couldn't be. And where I was meant I was providing or doing something like that. There was just so much demand and pressure to get stable. God, I pray over these young dads that you would give them the grace to understand what's too much and what's not enough. God, help them to have godly boundaries, wise boundaries. Help them to keep faith in the forefront of their lifestyle. Help them to keep a commitment not only to their families in prayer, but to the house of God and being a part of spiritual life. God, I pray that it would not be a casual thing to serve the living God, but one that's of high priority, the first thing in their lives. God, we pray that for all of us. Help us to keep God first in our families, in our households. And God, I love these guys, and I pray that you would help us as a church to grow as men of God. Help us as a church to grow as husbands and as fathers. And help us as the sons of God to be very much, in a sense, a child to our Heavenly Father as we are a father to our own children. And God, as we wrap up this morning, we wrap up with this idea. Thank you so much for being our Heavenly Father and teaching us all the things necessary to be good dads ourselves. And God, as we go out, I pray that we would go out this morning with a sense of your hand on our lives, a sense of your goodness in us. God, that you would bless the work of our hands. And God, I pray that this day, hot as it is, that some of us would find ourselves eating with our kids, sitting in a pool with our kids, maybe on the phone with our kids. God, that you would help us to serve them and to be present with them. And God, for those of us whose fathers are still in this life, I thank you for having a great one. And I know you're enjoying them in heaven right now. But for those who have fathers in this life, I pray that they'd reach out today and that they would practice very diligently the fifth commandment to honor your father and mother. Because it's the first command with the promise that your days would be long. It'd go well with you. So God, help us to honor both upward and downward our family structures. We thank you for this day. We worship you in it. We pray this all in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. Amen. Let's give it up for the dads. Way to go, dads. Don't lose heart. By the way, as you are exiting, dads, we have a little bit of something for you as you're heading out the door. There's some dad's root beer bottles because you're a dad. Amen. A little something to say Happy Father's Day to you. And God bless you all. If somebody does need prayer in the room, the ministry team will.